There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Woohoo! Welcome inside. Happy Tuesday.
Nice and spicy.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Game of the night in the NBA. We hit the ground running. We'll get to the NIT. The Lakers and the Bucks headed to overtime right now in Milwaukee. You're like, wait, what? I checked on this game like a half hour ago, and the Bucks are up by 50. The Lakers with a huge run, a 26-7 run to close the fourth quarter. This game is going to overtime. D'Angelo Russell had a chance to put the Lakers up in the final seconds, but he got his shot blocked, and it went off himself out of bounds. And then the Bucks throw a lob to Giannis, who is guarded by Anthony Davis. There's a lot of contact, but Giannis is able to catch the ball a couple of feet from the rim, and he just misses.
Went for the finger roll, yeah, or like a little push shot, and left it short.
He had time. I don't get it. He had time. He didn't have to do it, but it went in for the alley-oop, and he put it up, and it went short, and he fell down. He tried to sell a call. There was none. There was no contact after he got the ball. And then Austin Reeves, with 0.8 of a second left, because the Lakers got the basketball back, just missed from about 40 feet. So now we are in overtime at 101 apiece.
Was doing his best to roll bank. Reeves now just one assist shy of a triple-double for this one. The Giannis play was the anticipation, right, of like Davis was just going to hammer him.
Yeah.
Kind of like we watched last week, you know, the official assuming that in chasing down that it was just going to be a very hard foul. Instead, it was the clean block for Samford through the hands. Same kind of thing here. Giannis was anticipating big contact, so didn't drive at Davis with authority, instead left it short. And now we get some free basketball on all our monitors here in the beautiful TireRack.com Fox Sports Radio studios.
I don't mean to bury the lead, but the best part of the last couple minutes was the discrepancy whether D'Angelo Russell, the ball was off him going out of bounds, and then how much time was left for the Lakers at the end for a final shot.
Well, and then there was the play on the ground, though, also that required another review.
Yes.
Where Giannis, was he fouled on the ground? Did he walk? And it all comes back to the same visual for you and me.
But of all three of these reviews, LeBron James, who is not playing tonight,
that's right,
is on the floor yelling at the officials in a varsity jacket and a wool red cap.
Red knit cap.
Like,
yes.
he's inside. He's indoors. And he's wearing a wool hat.
He's close to being one of the guys hanging out singing doo-wop in Rocky.
No,
with the apparel that he's wearing.
Take me back. Do-do-do-do. Take me back.
You gotta.
That's Frank Stallone in that scene, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take me back. I have a thing with wearing a wool hat indoors. I have a thing about, you know me, wearing a jacket and shorts. I have a thing. Wearing a wool hat indoors, I'm like, come on, really? You're wearing a wool hat indoors? Really?
I do sometimes.
You're wearing a wool hat indoors? Indoors. You're wearing a wool hat.
I've done it here before.
You're wearing a wool hat.
Yeah.
You're wearing a... No, you haven't.
Sure, I have.
No, you haven't come in here because I would have said, what the hell's wrong with you? You can't wear a wool hat indoors.
Part of your 9-week return from sleeping wrong without a pillow.
Dude, you can get your ass kicked
right?
wearing a wool hat.
No, but Frostberg, I mean, I was in here with a knit cap on multiple times.
Wasn't
when,
wool,
when he wasn't around.
No, a wool cap. But he's wearing a big, heavy
ass
you would wear when you were 8, and your mom would put you in a jacket that you can't even move in and go outside to play in the snow. Like,
I wait for him to put his head down and start yelling, I'm the juggernaut, and running through people.
Ian McKellen is mad at him and puts him in prison like he does in X-Men 2. Sorry, spoiler alert. So again, that's what's happening right now. LeBron on the court, and is allowed to, apparently. LeBron not in the game, is allowed on the floor to argue with the officials in between these plays.
He's the king.
Three times.
He's been wearing these guys out all night long, and then those final 2 minutes were more about him. They might as well have just done a picture-in-picture. How quickly is
Darvin,
he getting off the bench?
Darvin, dude, can you please keep LeBron off the floor? Please, the guy, I mean, I don't want to look bad. I mean, but he's not playing. Come on, man. He can't come on the floor and start yelling at me every single time, especially when he's wearing a varsity jacket and a woolen hat. Like he's outside.
You're not dressed
shoveling
professionally.
Snow.
Sit down.
You know, he's dressed like he's going to come knock on my door going, would you like your walk shoveled? $10 first half hour.
Salt if for an extra $5.
You ever been to Milwaukee in this time of year? It's like 30 degrees.
Yeah, but he's also indoors. He's also indoors now.
He's going to be outdoors.
He's indoors where a lot of players aren't even wearing, they're wearing tank tops.
He's
the
king. You know what, though?
Yeah.
This is a good move, though. As soon as the game is over, and say it had gone the way it was for the Lakers, and they were getting the doors blown off in the fourth quarter, he was ready to just walk out the side door and go to dinner.
No, this is true.
Right?
This
There's
is
no true. Showering.
Yeah,
There's no need to go and get dressed or go find other clothes. You know, you're dressed in a suit, but that's not what you want to wear going out to the greater Milwaukee area. Mm. No, instead, now he's just ready to walk out the door.
Right now, it is the first lead for the Lakers tonight. AD has hit a three. Spencer Dinwiddie has hit a three. Lakers lead it by 3 with 2 minutes to go in overtime. So still long ways to go in this. It's a one-possession game. Milwaukee's got the ball. We will keep you posted on this throughout the rest of the game.
Really not enough shots, isolation of Doc Rivers.
It's not my fault. Giannis should have put it in. Not my fault. That's not my fault.
Just saying. I mean, that's pretty disrespectful to your viewing audience. He's part of the comedy of this collapse.
Oh, this is the national feed. This is the Laker feed.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is hiring for jobs in a variety of industries. So, job seekers, never pay a fee at Express. Check out expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. Meanwhile, we had a big day in the NFL today. All kinds of rule changes.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. A lot of them I said, nah. One, I absolutely love. All the big NFL news today. A lot of them I said, nah. But one I said, no, I love this.
Okay.
This I absolutely love. I love it. So here's what we had. We had the kickoff rules changed.
Yeah.
We added Christmas Day games. The NFL trade deadline was moved. And we had more penalty categories being reviewable. Which one do you think is my yes? Love it, love it, love it, love it. Which one is my yes? Do I love all four
Wednesday
of those?
Football doubleheader and Friday night Browns in Brazil. Let's get it on.
Remember, kickoff was changed.
Yeah. Oh, I added the Friday night
the
season over.
Christmas Day games on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
The NFL trade deadline moved to the middle of November. And the more penalty categories
well,
reviewable.
Knowing you, it's C. It's the trade deadline.
Trade deadline, I'm kind of meh.
Nah.
Nah, I'm meh about the trade deadline because it's, okay, it's after week 9. Okay. Not really that big a deal. I don't think anybody is saying between week 8 and week 9, hey, we're in it. Okay, we're not in it. We're not going to go for it. I don't see it. Because that's not a big deal. If you're really going to do it,
concession, though.
If you're really going to do it, then say, you know what? Make the trade after week 12. When teams can say, okay, we're 6-6 and we're in it. Because right now, is there a difference between if we're, hey, yo, we're 5-4, we're 4-5, we're 3-6, are we going to go for it? We can do it.
Well, I mean, look, if you're Jerry Jones, you're all in anyway.
Make it later. As we have seen, players can pick up the playbook pretty easy. Josh Dobbs can have zero practices and still lead the Vikings to a win, not even knowing the names of the guys he's throwing the football to.
He might have had stuff getting beamed back from space. He might have made some friends in his studies and travels.
Space quarterback, Josh Dobbs, space.
No, the obvious answer is D.
Spaceman.
More reviews.
Spaceman.
Lots more reviews.
Spaceman.
More rules.
Meh about that. Because we'll just to finish on that, what really needs to be pushed is the baseball trade deadline. You want to push that from the end of July to the middle of August, you'll see a lot more trades. That's the one trade deadline needs to get pushed. Football, meh.
I say no deadline at all.
But trade whenever. Right. They're allowed to make
the
that trade
you want.
The day before the end of the regular season. Yes, we're making that trade. Yes. The penalty categories that are now reviewable, roughing the passer, intentional grounding, and hits out of bounds. This is the biggest W for the NFL, for fans, for quarterbacks, for defensive players. This is something everybody can get behind, right? Because they should be reviewable. Roughing the passer, nobody gets more upset about penalty flags that are thrown than when you see a ridiculously bad roughing the passer thrown. So now that's reviewable, right? Also, hey, intentional grounding, he's not outside the tackle box. Yeah, okay, but I'm glad that's reviewable. But hits out of bounds, yeah. I mean, all of these are great, but especially the roughing the passer. Defensive players finally are saying, oh, we get a win. It's been like 40 years since we got a win.
Yeah, they took the huge L yesterday with the hip drop.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They'll take this. Hey, listen, I know we're screwing you on the hip drop, but we're going to give you something even better tomorrow.
The evolution of the cornerback position. Why is that guy 245?
Nah.
It's the only way he's going to be able to break down the running
backs. I know you like the hip drop. We're not doing it.
We've changed this all.
But... And
I don't like the hip drop. Just saying, some of these guys, you might as well just wave at them as they run
past
you.
But this is the one that needs to be reviewed, that you can make reviewable the most, the roughing the passer, because these penalties are just awful that are being called. It's like, are you kidding me with this? Are you kidding throwing the flag here? Now, Patrick Mahomes is going to be very upset because now the Chiefs' offense is now going to be cut in half.
Well.
You know, because how many every drive Mahomes relies on a roughing the passer penalty to keep it going. So it's going to really hurt the Chiefs. So it kind of brings the Chiefs down and it helps the rest of the NFL. Like when a rising tide raises all boats. So it raises all the boats up to the level of the Chiefs.
Well, you know, the explanation from the official is just going to be it did not rise to the level.
Well,
and the flag will remain.
Now, look, I want to be positive.
Let's be honest about
this. I want to be positive here. I want to be
Perry
positive about this because this is a good day because it's great that these things are getting reviewed. But yes, the big question is, are these going to get overturned? Or are they going to get cursory reviews? And there's no evidence to support the overturning this. So yes, this is still pass interference.
He may have grazed his
This is still
helmet,
a late hit out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, the pass interference, look, if you could review those all the time, and I know you had the motion pass that if you get one of your challenges right, you get the bonus. So you've got that rolling for you as well. But yeah, the pass interference is always the one that I'd like to most because, you know, that and the quarterback roughing penalties are the two most egregious and punitive to opposing defenses. You know, chuck it up and hope that there's enough contact that you draw the flag. Hey, we just picked up 45 yards. I don't know. But
it's going to screw the Chiefs, man. This is going to screw the Chiefs. Because really, Mahomes, every drive... Where'd they get 50? Oh, right. On that 3rd and 6, they got that roughing the passer call. Okay, great. Now it's reviewable.
Was he sliding? Was he not? Was he all of those things?
I'm hopeful that they do throw the flags. I can't believe that we're actually going to get a rule where it's not happening. Maybe in the worst world, there's going to be a little bit of hesitancy, and then we're going to see it. Like in the beginning, okay, not a lot is getting overturned, but we're going to get it at some point, and we start getting it as the season goes on. You know, maybe that's how it's going to wind up going. But
I mean, look, they're not going to put this in without seeing some kind of change, because obviously, yeah, because these are penalties that flip games.
Sure.
Right. This is not, hey, we're going to look at a defensive holding penalty on second and six. This is, I mean, these penalties flip games, late hits out of bounds. Intentional grounding, not that big a deal, because you're losing the down and it's you're already, nothing happens on the play anyway. You're not gaining anything. Yes, it's like a sack. So, okay, it's not, that doesn't flip a game. But these flip games, especially the roughing the passer. So that's why this is the biggest thing today. When I saw that, I said, yes, NFL did something really good with it. The rest of it, yeah, but this NFL did something good.
Two games to bet on Christmas Day.
Oh, we'll get to that.
On a Wednesday.
Yeah, no. Well, there's a reason why I like that, but I'm still kind of mad. I like it, but I'm still kind of mad.
Okay.
I'm still kind of,
because you know the Jets are going to end up playing on the Wednesday.
No. They're not going to put the Jets on a Wednesday. See what happened? They put the Jets on the Black Friday game. Look what happened last year.
Well, I mean, it's not
their
fault.
Don't play the kick six. Don't play the pick six. Yeah. Hail Mary. No.
Did you say play the pick six?
I did not say that.
It's not your
did not
fight.
Say
I didn't
that.
Hear him right.
I don't think so. I think he said he wanted to hear it.
I'll make a deal with you.
It was historic.
I'll make a deal with you, Frostburg. I'll make a deal with you. You don't. We talk about this tonight. You do not play the Dolphins Jets Hail Mary pick six, and I won't mention the big three that Dame Lillard just hit to put the Bucks up by two with 13 seconds left to go.
Well, I don't care. You just mentioned it.
That was some really big rotation. Going all the way corner to corner to get back to a wide open Dame Lillard.
Now, speaking of basketball, the Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge is live. See the standings, get rules now at foxsportsradio.com. Morgan H. currently in first place with an impressive 55 points out of 64, but four listeners right behind Morgan with 54 points. Two winners get the ultimate college sports trip for two with Graduate Hotels, sponsored by Tractor Supply and Graduate Hotels, where college fans stay. So, Lakers and the Bucks again now. I'll give you an update on this. Bucks with a 2-point lead, 117-115. The Bucks swing it around. Damian Lillard wide open, hits a three. The Lakers do have the ball with one chance left to tie. We'll bring you that result coming up next, as well as more from the NFL, more big rule changes. That's just kind of meh. But I can't wait to talk about the Cowboys after today. I really can't. It's next right here, Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. The Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge is live. See the standings, get rules now at foxsportsradio.com. Morgan H. is in first place, 55 out of a possible 64 points, but four listeners right behind him with 54 points. Two winners get the ultimate college sports trip for two with Graduate Hotels, sponsored by Tractor Supply and Graduate Hotels, where college fans stay. Lakers and the Bucks just starting double overtime, tied at 117. The Bucks with a chance to win the game on the last play of overtime. Damian Lillard floats in for an 8-footer, and Anthony Davis sets it back in his face to end overtime. AD, this shot had no chance. AD just went up and got it, pulled down the rebound himself, and now we are in overtime, 117 to 117. This would be a heartbreaker for the Lakers to lose after being counted out. This is a huge lead for the Bucks. The Lakers end the fourth quarter on a 26-7 run to send it to overtime. We're in double OT, where we're still tied with 2.5 left.
Anthony Davis, 32-21 and 4 blocks.
It's a pretty good night.
Hachimura.
I mean, he's not Dante DiVincenzo, points. But still, it's a pretty good night.
Well, I mean, you didn't even get into your Buddy Boeheim shooting barrage he's had the last couple of games.
Look at Buddy.
I
have
been seeing some supercuts about, you know, former guest of the show, Buddy Boeheim.
Sure. Now, although not a great day for former Syracuse players. Not a great day for
them. Well, we've got questions.
Yeah. Not a great day for former walk-ons. Not a great day. Not a great thing.
You want to talk about a backstory? We need the made-for-TV movie about.
Nope.
How the hell you get roped up in all that?
The dude was a walk-on, and he left Syracuse, and he finished someplace else. That was it.
Yes.
It doesn't happen. So, we will have more NBA on the way, but we have to get to this big news with the Cowboys. But first, you mentioned part of the NFL rule changes today, right? We talked about the four of them are the four big pieces of news in the beginning of the show. The trade deadline gets pushed to the middle of November. More penalty categories are now reviewable, including roughing the passer, which is awesome. The kickoff has been changed, which we'll get to. And we're going to get two more Christmas Day games now. Mm-hmm. The NFL saying, blank you, NBA. We're going to put a couple of games on. Right. Because there was a big audience for the game last year. Obviously, Ravens 49ers, you can't just put any game on Christmas Day. You got to have a good one on Christmas Day, but we're going to have two games on Christmas Day. Now, I am kind of meh on this because Christmas Day, I'm like, all right, if they're at night, fine. If they're going to be at night, great. We have good games at night, fine. But mainly, I like this because what if I've been telling you for 10 years, eventually, we're going to get NFL 7 nights a week.
Every damn night.
What's the toughest day? I always said, right? The toughest day. Sunday we have already. Monday we have. Thursday we have. Saturday we have at the end of the season, right after college football is played. We have some Friday now, right? We have that, right?
Week one, we're getting to Friday.
You can easily add Tuesdays if you want to. We've had a Tuesday game.
We've seen that. No, but we saw proof of concept during COVID.
But right. We had Tuesday afternoon games during COVID, sure. But what's the big day? I said it's really tough. Wednesday nights is going to be the tough one. Nope. We're getting two games on Wednesday, everybody. NFL every single day. Every single day.
You get creative with the scheduling. Figure out how the bye weeks work and how to massage the schedule. And as always, make nice with the PA and all of the different cuts and revenue streams and all of this. Because remember, every extra game that they can sell off to Amazon, to Peacock, to whoever, it just makes that pie that much bigger. And they get half of it. So, it's the easiest argument in the world. Everything else, the minutiae and details and health benefits and everything that we raise our hand and say, what the hell are you doing every time there's a CBA? Like, those are hard conversations because people are at different levels of their career, different experience, different monies banked, all of that stuff. But when it comes to this, like, wait, it grows the pot right now while I'm playing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will affirm that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the player reps don't have to even go ask for a vote because everybody's going to say, wait, it's going to get us all how much more per person across the league? It's an easy sell. and for the league to go in and come riding in and do the D-Generation X chop to the NBA, yeah, they're going to love it.
Told you. Every day, we're getting close. We're getting close.
Well, because they thought this year was going to be the tough one, right? Because it was Wednesday, and last year, even I think they opined and kind of talked about it even during the broadcast. Like, all right, we've got a special game here, special event, whatever else. But, you know, next year it'll be a Wednesday. And you and I, we, you know, in Frostburg, we're exchanging our pleasantries. Like, yeah, you're telling me they're not going to have a game next year. They're going to suddenly fold on Christmas Day after the ratings and interest of a game like this? No, it's all just a matter of how flexible and bendy your scheduling is as the year goes on.
Every day. NFL every day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. Yeah.
That is a good mantra. It's coming. It's NFL coming. Every day.
Yes, NFL every day.
I mean,
day.
Their NFT, you know, online digital card program is called NFL All Day.
I'm willing to cut the season by a few games if you can start and have the NFL every day when we start week one. We start, you know, Thursday night to start the season, right? Thursday night starts the season. Friday, we'll take Saturday off because college football, so that's fine.
I'll give them a little
bit. But Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm willing to cut however many games you cut the season if you're going to give me an NFL game every day.
Think about our lives on air every night.
Can you give me two games every day? Can you give me two games every day? Could that work? Could you get two games a day? Like that would be, oh, could you do that? Can you, I mean, the scheduling might explode, but you give me two games every day? Oh.
Hey, we go to our master schedule in his workroom. That man had a full head of hair. He looked like Lebowski at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Meanwhile, the day for the Dallas Cowboys. When I saw this today, first I laughed, and then I said, I told you. You know me, I hate to say I told you so, right? I hate to say I told you so.
I think you offered to give that up for Lent,
but
I thought it was too punitive.
Yeah, no, I do. I hate to say that. But, boy, was I right about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. What did I tell you from Jerry Jones's all-in comment the day he made it? Jerry Jones saying all-in means we're going to run it back with what we have. We're not spending this year, and maybe we'll spend next year. But this is the year where basically I'm going to say, you made this mess. Now you guys clean it up, or I'll clean it up next offseason. And I told you that Dak Prescott was a big part of this. And Dak wasn't going to get a contract extension. They were going to play out this year and then decide, do we give Dak $50 million a year or $60 million a year, or do we let him go? Because that's really what's going to help the Cowboys stay a great team. You can find a quarterback that can give you what Dak Prescott gives you, and you're saving $60 million. You can figure out the rest of your roster. The Cowboys today, we find out that Dak Prescott is likely going to play this season under his current contract. There is no extension, and he's going to hit free agency in the offseason. Jerry Jones said, we're locked and loaded for 2024. What I told you about what all-in is. All-in, we're going to go. No, you're going to come back with the same guys, with less guys, actually, because you're going to lose players because you've signed guys to bad contracts. And good luck getting it done this year. And oh, by the way, Dak Prescott's on a one-year prove-it situation.
Yeah.
As good as he was last year, the last two-thirds of the regular season, he was on a heater and he was fantastic. But boy, the playoff failures for Dak Prescott in Dallas are just immense. And I told you, everything changed last year when they lost to Brock Purdy and the Niners in that bad 17-12 loss. Everything, no matter what Dak did, he was going to be judged on the playoffs. And then they come out and they lay an absolute egg, and he is awful against the Packers. Now, he didn't play defense. He didn't help Jordan Love to a perfect quarterback rating, but
Dak offensively, Prescott did nothing
awful
to stop the bleeding.
If he does not have a great season and lead the Cowboys deep into the playoffs, the Cowboys are going to let him go. And they're going to let him go because they're going to realize, okay, we've had the best of Dak Prescott, and we can't win a playoff game. He's just in the playoffs. He absolutely melts down. Now, so this is not that big a deal. They didn't extend Dak from Dak's perspective because, hey, Dak still wants to be quarterback. We know how bad he wants to be quarterback in the Dallas Cowboys. And if he's great next year and the Cowboys win a couple of games, you know Jerry Jones, he loves to write checks, especially to guys he feels like he discovered. Mm-hmm. He's got that feeling towards Dak Prescott. I drafted Dak. Lots of teams passed on him. So, yeah, if he has a great year, you know what, Dak, here you go. $60 million a year for the next, whatever it's going to be. Here's $180 million.
$10 million for the next 3 years, all guaranteed. He'll do that next year. But if he's not good, Dallas will let him walk. They've been moving towards this for a while. Those playoff losses are just awful, and they can't deal with it. And Dak's contract situation is what's going to keep them from fielding a really competitive team. It's too much money for a guy that when you get to the playoffs, okay, yeah, we're just okay. When you can have close to Dak Prescott's, close to his production, where you can really amp up the rest of the team. They couldn't go out and sign. They have no money to sign a running back. They have no money to bring in another wide receiver. They're losing players. They signed a long snapper. Congratulations. Very good. That's a big move. This is a Cowboys team that's going to stink this year. They're going to struggle to make the playoffs. As much as, hey, Dak is, you know, still a good quarterback, but, you know, is he great? Is he going to lead them to the playoffs? No. They're going to struggle to make the playoffs. They'll be a 500 type team this year at best. And if Dak isn't great, and I'm telling you how this is going to go, the Cowboys are going to let him go. He's going to hit free agency next year, and they're going to let him go to another team. It's what they need to do because it's measured differently in Dallas. You can have great regular seasons, which he has had, but the playoff failures are so great, and they're so top of mind that this is what's going to push it the other way. Outside of a huge run, like the pressure that he's under, the Ryan Day-type pressure to go undefeated and win the national title with Ohio State, same thing for Dak. Dude, you got to win the NFC East, or you got to get into the playoffs. You got to carry us at least two wins into the playoffs, at least to the NFC Championship game, if you want to stay our quarterback. That's a ton of pressure for Dak to have it. He doesn't have the team. I don't see it happening. So if he asked me about my crystal ball, I would say this time next year, or a little bit before this time next year, we're talking about Dak Prescott, free agent, and other teams are going to line up to try to go sign him, thinking maybe he'll be better with us.
Well, but that's it, right? And if you're Dak Prescott, you're also looking at that side of things as well, is that as well as you've played, you haven't exactly been dealt with a squad that dominated, and we've certainly have been going for years at the decision-making of McCarthy in big spots and Jason Garrett before him, right? So he's not alone in this. And from the team perspective, sure, you're already on the hook. What is he, 55 against the cap this year and 67, 68 or whatever the dead cap number is. You didn't have any money to go sign anybody. You've got to look at C.D. Lamb. Micah Parsons hasn't been paid yet either. So unless you're banking on another $30 million jump in your salary cap, you're getting no relief there and have to make hard decisions. On the other side, from a Dak perspective, is maybe you want to see what else is out there and not play with that star on the side of your helmet. Go to an organization where there's perhaps a bit of a better structure, communication, and not an owner wearing you out on air every Tuesday and Wednesday or whenever he decides to pick up the damn phone, right, to call in to the local radio station. So no franchise tag. He's got a no trade clause, all of those things. You run it back one more time. You've won 12 regular season games 3 years in a row. I mean, last year, again, as badly as the defense failed, I think Dak, for a large part of it, got a free pass. The offense did nothing to slow that train wreck down against Green Bay, right? It just kept going because they were had short possessions and had that defense right back out there, and they were tripping over their tongues by the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dak and the offense, yeah, they've got to shoulder some of that. And for Jerry, he's frustrated, right? It's why Arthur Blank went and spent all the money he did on Kirk Cousins. These guys are looking, and the road up ahead, a lot shorter than the stuff behind them.
Yeah, it's like this is a gap year for the Cowboys. We're not going to do anything. And we're waiting for next year. It's like the Cowboys have said, we're punting on 2024. We're going to give you the team you saw, lots of guys from last year, no changes. And if it doesn't get better, then we're going to redo things after this year. Situation will be better.
But if you look around the division, you should be able to compete for the division, shouldn't you?
Oh, your division's terrible. Right, you should be. But you're a team that won 12 games last year. All you did was lose players now. You're going to be better?
Trevon Diggs really comes back, though.
You're going to be better?
I don't know.
Really going to be better? Seriously. I mean, you're not going to win the division. The Eagles will likely win the division. So you're talking about trying to get
it
as a wild card.
Way? I mean, their owner went and put Sirianni on blast today.
I like their roster a lot better than I like the Cowboys roster.
No Jason Kelce to be that anchor. Although Saquon Barkley kind of...
Yeah, I feel better. It's a pretty good roster. I feel better about...
How much do you love Jalen Hurts?
I told you.
Because everybody hates Jalen Hurts again.
I told you.
You want to talk
Cowboys,
about a guy riding a pendulum? Like, if you were just going to make a painting with AI, it would be the the Jalen Hurts. Which side of that the pendulum swing is he on? Do you love him or do you hate him?
Told you about the Cowboys. Told you about Dak. I told this is how it's going. It's a gap year. Whatever happens, we're all in. I mean, by that, I mean we're not really going
to
try.
But you know what? By doing this, they're far more entertaining to me.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, boy, we break down the game of the night in the NBA. Are the Lakers back? Is it Doc Rivers' fault? Do the Lakers really need LeBron? Wait, what? Yeah, that's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And wow, did we just see the end of a thriller in Milwaukee? Lakers and the Bucks go to double overtime. The Lakers without LeBron. Austin Reeves, his second career triple-double. And the Lakers closing the fourth quarter on a 26-7 run, walk away with this.
The game is over. The Lakers battle back from 19 down. A tremendous second half. Thrilling win by the Lake Show. Hope you enjoyed it. That'll do it from Milwaukee. Final score once again in a couple of OTs, 128-124.
Ah, Billy Mack, the Lakers TV network, had to get off the air there really fast.
Hey, it was second overtime. We're done.
Hey, we're overtime.
We're already in overtime.
We got to get to
Billable
the news.
Hours. We're done.
We got to get to the news. They've been waiting for the news. We got a chase going on in L.A. We got
to
get there.
The Heater's just been waiting to host the
Just sign off now.
Look, that was the quickest sign off after a game like that in history.
Unbelievable win. We're out of time. See you next time on the Lakers television network.
And it was like the other day. I was watching a chase here in L.A. that just kept going, right? It was when we were covering on air, and it really went late, and it went through what the normal news cycle was, and then they stopped it when it was time for a Friends rerun.
Well,
to actually show the news, but to go to the Friends rerun.
Sometimes your job's a joke, you're broke. You know, you always feel like you're always stuck
ratings.
In second gear.
What are you going to do?
Has it been your day, your week, your month, even your year? You got to get there.
Man.
Oh, wait. This is the one where Joey dies as Drake Ramore on Days of Our Lives. Anyone else want to take an elevator ride? You, Dr. Thompson? I love you, Drake. Ah, forget it. His death scene was so good. But, look, the Lakers beat the Bucks tonight without LeBron. And we'll get to the Lakers side of this coming up in a minute. But to win without LeBron, they're 4-1. Their last five games without him, we talked about how great Austin Reeves was. Anthony Davis with a huge block at the end of regulation, helping keep Giannis away from the rim for an alley-oop that could have won the game. But this game tells me a lot
And it's panic button time for the Bucks, because the Bucks went out and got Damian Lillard so they could control the end of games like this. They are 0-4 in their last four games they've played, decided by 3 points or less or in overtime. And this is in the Doc Rivers era. This is Doc Rivers era. They went out and got Damian Lillard because what did they see? End of game seven, first round last year, Grayson Allen taking a shot that went up after the clock hit zero. Okay, we got to change that. So they go out and get Damian Lillard. Now we're fixing things. Everything's fixed. End of games, Lillard's get the ball. But look at what happened. They struggle. They're big three tonight. You're talking about a big three that anybody in the NBA would want to have with Giannis and Lillard and Middleton. And they couldn't beat a Laker team playing without LeBron. I mean, seriously, just think about that for a second, right? You had a big night from Reeves, but you're talking about a big three that you fixed all your problems. And now at the end of game, what do we see at the end of regulation? Giannis tried an alley-oop, couldn't get it, couldn't get off of AD. Lillard tried a floater, AD blocked it and sent the shot back in his face. Mm-hmm. These were things that getting Damian Lillard was supposed to take care of, and it is not. And I'm watching a Bucks team that, hey, when they get out in front run, they're great. When the Bucks get up big, yes, they can open the floor up, and it's kind of like watching the Warriors of years past sometimes. Like, wow, when they get up, like, that's it. You're not coming back against them because their propensity to hit shots. But you get in that close game, and we all know the playoffs are close games, and I'm not seeing the closing that the Bucks were supposed to be able to have. I'm not seeing it easier for Giannis to close because of the presence of Damian Lillard. I'm not seeing Lillard easier to close games. You just watched tonight what happened.
Well, that's give a couple up a 19 plays at the point end. Lead.
You're supposed to have that, and you don't have that. And you now, especially after you went and lost to the Lakers after Damian Lillard got a shot blocked by Dinwiddie, that could have been a game-winning shot to end mm-hmm. the game a couple weeks ago. And now you lose again, and Lillard gets a shot block from 8 feet away. This is panic button time for the Bucks because you got to figure out close games. And there's not that many games left to figure out close games. We're in the final 10 games of the season now. We're getting to that time. It's almost playoffs. It's almost time.
Say it.
It's almost Knicks time.
No.
It's almost Knicks.
I thought you were going to say
it's almost playoff time.
End game now.
End game, we got to get deeper into the playoffs. But I mean, we're almost there now, man.
72 games in.
You're not figuring this out.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple of things to pull back on this. Number one, not often that you get doubled up at the free throw line at home. There's one. Giannis's inability, once again, to hit free throws rears its ugly head. Had an opportunity to make a couple late and rimmed them both out. So you got that flowing for you. Your point earlier about Middleton and Lillard, they shot a combined 13 for 44 on the night. Giannis did his job, 14 of 25, 21 and 11, but he did have 7 turnovers, a couple of really bad decisions along the way. And you just flow through. You know, you win the turnover battle, you get out rebounded by 8, that's fine, massive night for Anthony Davis. But to your point, we've watched it time again. Now, I'm not in panic mode because, again, when you look throughout the East, you've got the Celtics who have had their issues closing out games, and they're far and away better than everybody. And then the rest of the Eastern Conference, including your beloved Knicks. Western Conference, I mean, Lakers 7-3 in their last 10.
40 wins now. 40 wins.
Giannis in the knit cap and on the sideline. So
you mean LeBron?
LeBron. Sorry. Giannis was kicking ass. Sorry, I got you know, up in my head. But LeBron doing some coaching, you get to buy him a game. Because that's the other thing here, right? You win a game, right? Across conferences, fine. So whatever. However you want to decide what matters more than the other. But you win a game on the road with him in street clothes at this stage of the year against one of the top teams in the NBA. He gets a couple of nights of rest. I don't know how much he was resting. He probably logged about 15 miles on the sideline stalking it. But huge win for the Lakers. And as we know, the back end of the Western Conference is a mess. Mm. Just get in.
They're bleeping back.
AD, 52 minutes played tonight for the Lakers in that win. So
when do they play next?
What's the big takeaway from the Lakers? And what about the biggest move the NFL made today affecting our games this fall? That's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, this is Fox Sports Radio. Truth. And there's a short-term truth and a long-term truth. Short-term truth is this. Are the Lakers a better team without LeBron James? No. But is it good that they can suck it up when he's out and give you a big effort to win? Absolutely, 100%. It is good that when they know that if LeBron is out for whatever reason, they can still win big games. They can win on the road. They can beat good teams on the road. It's good to know that. This is a very positive thing for the Lakers.
Well, as long as Doc Rivers is in the other coaching box, you got a chance.
I'm not shooting the ball, guys. It's not me. These guys are shooting the ball. They're missing. I make everything from the sideline as coach. It's not my fault. Just these guys right here. Look at them right here. Big three. Little three. Not my fault.
I'd be looking for the shooting rack from warm-ups, and as they came to that first time out, as that lead evaporated, I'd be firing the ball at each one of them. What the hell's wrong with you guys? Ridiculous fourth quarter for the Lakers, and conversely, the collapse by the Bucks, giving up the monster, I mean, led by as many as 19. Didn't get to the free throw line, didn't finish it up. Am I nervous about them overall? Well, yeah, but it's great for theater. Because if they don't win, Giannis want to be a Buck anymore? Mm-hmm. Lillard want to stay a Buck?
How long is he going to want to stay?
Gonna be there? Like, there's just so much drama from the Lakers side of it.
You want to bring Budenholzer back? Fine. Be my guest. It's not my fault.
I bet you Giannis looks at a picture from that team going, you know, we had something pretty special.
None of these games are going on my overall record. None of them. Not one.
We had it all. No. Just like Bogey and Bacall.
I'm going to erase it from my basketballreference.com website. Not going to be on there. Not there.
Well, it's like you can get people to do a mass editing of Wikipedia pages as you need to. But for the Lakers, sure. You win in spurts without LeBron James. And you have to recognize, right? Right now they're in the play-in. You get past the play-in, there's no guarantee that you're going to get A-list LeBron every night. And let's face it, over the course of this year, they've gone through relatively unscathed when it comes to injuries or needing time off, except for, you know, as they would probably call tonight, maintenance, since he was ruled out a full 24 hours ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? He's just not going to play tomorrow because it is an Eastern Conference opponent, a road game, all that stuff. We'll see if he's on the court. They play again on Thursday. So next round up. Likewise, if he maybe can come back to play, Anthony Davis, after playing 52 minutes tonight, doing a couple of Peter Griffin, I'm holding my knee, going, you know, those kind of things and making big plays, maybe it's his turn to take a day off.
Chair. Say something besides chair. What if I can't think of something besides chair? Now, look, the other part of it for this, that's the short term for the Lakers. As we talked about, they can suck it up when LeBron's not there, give you something big, makes you think if he misses a playoff game, they can do it. All that's good. Now, here's the further truth for the
You're
Lakers.
You're going to need more bench help, by the way.
Yeah, you will. You will.
Right? Only 13 points off the bench. Prince.
But a guy like Dinwiddie now getting more minutes, more responsibility, who is, let's face it, he's been up and down since they got him. You thought he was going to have a bigger immediate impact, and instead it's been a little choppy.
Well, but he was plus eight tonight.
Tonight was
even
great.
Even with his 1-for-8 shooting.
Yeah, but that three, it was pretty big, though.
That was a pretty big
three. But suddenly now, I don't know when it's going to end. I think he's got another couple of years, but who knows? But suddenly, the post-LeBron era of the Lakers doesn't look that bad. Like, if you said to me, what's the post-LeBron era going to look like at the Lakers a year ago, I would say, oh, my goodness, man, they're going to be starting over, bottom of the barrel. They don't have any supporting cast. But look what they did. They brought in supporting cast, which is younger. And, yes, AD is going to be near the end because as a big man, he's going to slow down a little bit. But still, he's going to be AD, and they'll be able to control his minutes. You'll replace LeBron with another superstar. And suddenly, hey, wait a minute, this post-LeBron era of the Lakers might not be so bad. Instead of looking at, this looks like death warmed over, man. This is awful. They're going to be back in the lottery hoping that Wemby's got a brother somewhere that's going to get drafted. But instead now, suddenly, the post-LeBron era of the Lakers, when it ends, doesn't look that bad. And it's a bit of a silver lining here in this. It's a double big night for the Lakers.
See, I always felt they were going to be okay because the next superstar making that kind of money was going to be 28.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bronny James.
That's the Lakers succession plan. The $50 million I'm getting, we're just going to give it to Bronny.
He's Logan.
Yeah, no, we're not saving money. Bronny's coming in and he's getting the $50 million that I'm getting. I'm just going to transfer my contract over to Bronny.
they're going to have Ipe transfer the money.
No, that's true.
Oh, then he's never going to get it.
Done.
He's never going to get it. Ipe's, are you kidding? He's going to, come on, man. That's $50 million compared to
whatever
happened
to all that money.
Come on, man.
Hey, man, that's just moving the decimal point over one spot.
LeBron's so rich, he's not going to realize where 50 went.
No, that's true.
No, but Bronny might. I think Bronny might see where that money goes.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think Bronny might. I'm just saying.
I loved all the arguments the last in my Twitter timeline about the, yeah, it's very easy for folks to move these monies around. Yes, I can understand how the player doesn't see it. But in theory, they've hired people to follow their money.
Now, just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what really sets them apart. So, lace up your sneakers and make the winning play by heading to your local Tractor Supply store today. You Jims and Sals are my best pals. So we'll have more on the Lakers coming up. But again, big night, double big night for the Lakers, worst night for the Bucks.
You sound like such a, I mean, you want to put your Laker jersey on?
No, I'm just saying, I call it like I see it.
Squeeze yourself into a Bob Ori.
How many nights do I go, the Lakers are not bad? Oh, they're back. I'm falling for it. Oh, they're back. Oh, they're not. Oh, they're, but hey,
don't,
40 wins, eight games over 500.
Don't get sucked into his delusional state over
but
there.
But the reality is 40 wins, eight games over 500. You know, look, you're looking at a team that's going to win 45-ish games at least this year and get ready for the playoffs. And look, like I said, the regular season doesn't mean anything, man.
But as we've talked about for the last 2 months, the beauty of it for the playoffs is there are, other than the Denver Nuggets, there are no certainties. Mm.
Just like in basketball, successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings heart and hustle, and that's what sets them apart from the rest. So, lace up your sneakers, make the winning play, and head to your local Tractor Supply store today. Well, a big day for Shohei Ohtani is maybe things got a little bit more confusing, but there's nobody better to talk to try to make sense of it than that.
He is a smart guy.
MLB Network insider, yes. Former roommate with Mets president David Stearns. Every move the Mets are making this spring has turned out to be great. Let's see if we get the same type of visit from John Paul Morosi. JP, what's happening, bud?
I'm doing great, and I agree. David Stearns has had a very solid spring. You get a really good sign there with J.D. Martinez. Their rotation, I believe, is going to be better than people expect. I believe that we may actually see Pete Alonso finish the year with the Mets because they've got a chance, at least on the periphery, of the NL wildcard conversation. How about that for a sunny prediction to begin our conversation, Jason?
And then he can sign with the Dodgers. Okay, I got it. Good. Okay, very good. All right, perfect.
That's pretty good.
Perhaps. So, you know, there was tonight, before the final Freeway Series game, Jason Hayward was scratched from the lineup. And to the surprise of many, the Dodgers did not just run out and automatically trade for Pete Alonso to fill that spot in the lineup. So that they are showing admirable restraint right now in how they're responding to the normal ebbs and flows of the baseball season.
I don't know, JP. I'm watching Eric Karros' kid pitch, and first of all, I want to see his hair. Secondly, hey, maybe he can take Yamamoto's spot in the rotation. Oh, too soon?
He looks pretty good. Now, Yamamoto, he is due to pitch on the weekend, so we're going to hold off on any dramatic reactions to at least Yamamoto on the negative side. But I'll say this. Jared Karros, first of all, you're right. Eric, his father, best flow in the history of Major League Baseball. Also, still, I believe to this day, the Dodgers' all-time home run leader. That's a great trivia question. So EK, former Rookie of the Year, still the Dodgers' home run leader. And Jared Karros, I believe we will see him in the major leagues this season. Very impressed by him tonight. He's got a chance to be a starter. 23 years of age. Solid career for him at UCLA.
All right, now let's get to the other side of the equation here. That's all positive and moving forward. Frostburg just made a gesture for me to move it on. Was the Ohtani reps declining to say any more on reporting and what was put into and which reporting agencies, et cetera, JP, as we get ready for opening day part two, you know, what did you take away from yesterday's statement and next steps, I guess?
So there's a few different things here. I think number one, the most important thing that Ohtani had to do in terms of his day-to-day work and life was to get the Dodger family behind him. And I think he succeeded in doing that yesterday. Joe Kelly was there at the press conference. Kike Hernandez was as well. Numerous teammates of his spoke publicly. Mike DiGiovanni wrote a great story in the LA Times about this, with a lot of on-the-record support from a lot of players praising him for how he handled it. Dave Roberts offered words of support. And really, guys, that 26-player unit plus staff plus manager, management, that's the immediate group that he has to get on his side. That's the baseball day-to-day. The other piece of this, what happens with the investigations that are going on, to your point, the lack of clarity from his side to ESPN about exactly which authorities were contacted and for what reason, that is a little bit unclear. And, guys, it's going to remain unclear for the foreseeable future. This is not a rapid resolution from the standpoint of how the investigations are going, nor will the investigation by MLB be a rapid one. So the Dodgers have to find a way, and Ohtani does, to make their collective peace with where they're at on this right now, so that that way they can just go out and play ball games. Because the sort of larger piece of this is not going to get resolved anytime soon. And I think that they are, at this moment, slowly making their peace with that, while also realizing that there is still some uncertainty to walk through.
Here's the thing. Here's what I come back to, JP, and this is why the misstep of the interview that Ipe had with ESPN, saying, yeah, Shohei's covering my debts, and a half hour later, oh, no, the money was stolen, is that if you're innocent, and if Shohei is innocent, transparency is pretty easy. If you're innocent, transparency is easy. And I'm not saying one way or another, but so far we have gotten the exact opposite of transparency. And today, when his representatives wouldn't answer questions about which authorities they've contacted. You can't say what authorities you contacted to look in this. I mean, we're getting more murkiness, and the trust is slowly going to erode, if it hasn't eroded already.
Well, and that's fair. It's a very fair question to ask and a fair thing to point out. And I do think that the clarity that we're looking for, and I think yesterday, I understand, I suppose, why Ohtani did not answer questions in an open forum. I understand why he did not. It's because the investigations are going on. You've got federal authorities involved. And the last thing you want to do is get in front of the cameras, have something misinterpreted or taken out of context, if you will, and then open up a full another series of questions. I think the way they did it yesterday, honestly, it probably didn't satisfy our journalistic or fan curiosities, but it was probably the way they had to do it, which was, he has a statement in Japanese. Will Ireton translates it into English. Obviously, Will knew what he was translating. It was all taken care of in advance, prepared, and that was what they were comfortable doing, staying on script. They clearly do not want to go off script, and I think we can all see that. There is the legal reason for that, and then there may be the other, to your point, narrative reason for that. I think, guys, one of the things about Ohtani that will become very interesting to me, and we got just the smallest of glimpses today, was how is he going to be received on the road? Because for his entire career, especially the last few years, we have all been collectively so much in awe of what he does that he really, even in rival ballparks, wasn't booed. And especially the last year, you had fans like in Seattle and other places that were hoping that he would want to sign with them, and so they were being really nice to him. And so now it's different because, as you guys know, living in Southern California, the Dodgers and Angels are different. The Dodgers have rivals, specifically the Padres and Giants, who really don't like them. And now you wonder, how does this play when he goes on the road to other places? Is he getting booed more often? Are there snarky signs? Are there chants that are happening? These are things that he's never had to deal with before. And I think that it's going to represent a new reality for him, especially to your point, when his representatives aren't able to candidly say which authorities they contacted. He's not able to take questions about this yesterday, and one assumes he's not going to do it anytime soon. And so you're probably now in the position where, if you're a Dodger fan and a true believer, you're with him, and there's probably a big segment of the population that is skeptical. And that's probably about where we're going to be on this for the foreseeable future unless there's a massive breakout. And I think, to your point, the information today, his representatives not saying which people they contacted, it doesn't entirely surprise me because they've been vague about a lot of these things. And to your point, there was the initial change in Ipe's story, which was he was presented to ESPN by the crisis counselor, which is the other piece of things. So it's a very, very murky story, and the murkiness is not going to dissipate anytime soon. What we do have to realize, though, is the important thing that happens on Thursday, which is the regular season starts. And I would say this, and it should not be this way, but it probably is, that the better the Dodgers play, the less we will talk about the controversy, and the worse they play, the more we'll probably talk about the controversy. That is how it works in sports, and I think on some level, whether it should or shouldn't be is an open question, but that's probably the reality as it exists right now.
I have the shape and form of a bulldog. Win, lose, or draw, this is far more entertaining than anything happening in April baseball, JP, at least as far and far more interesting. John Paul Morosi with us, MLB Network, freshly back from his trip to South Korea and ready for opening day. I've got to ask the other question, right? So let's flip it back to the other locker room. Ipe was around 6.5, 7 years. This guy's pulled off one of the great long cons on everybody with fraudulent transcripts and jobs and everything else. And nowhere in the checks and balances was he caught, JP. How soon can you, Jason, and I get a made-for-TV movie up and going?
It is quite a story. And the Angels, to your point, and this, I think it gets you do start to wonder. There was an LA Times story about how some of the credentials that Ipe presented to the Angels were, and in terms of what his bio said in the media guide, were not correct. And again, I think that this kind of gets back to the question of how much with Ohtani and even perhaps by Ohtani was taken for granted a little bit, where you took Ipe at his word. Are we going to do the full background check? Well, he's Ohtani's guy. Should we even ask that? And then Ohtani, depending on obviously whose account you're listening to, he trusted him implicitly. Clearly, that was a mistake. And so I think that we're seeing now maybe the limits of what the trust has been around and about Ohtani and his people for a long time, and how it was just somewhat freely given, and perhaps it shouldn't have been. And now, though, the big picture here is this is just these 2 games into a 10-year contract. I mean, this is the Dodgers, his immediate environment. This is his new reality. He's got a longer-term deal there than just about anybody else who draws a paycheck from that organization. And I think this is where slowly, perhaps, and Dylan Hernandez has written some great stuff about this for the LA Times, I think that now maybe not today, tomorrow, because he's got some other stuff on his mind, but some of the public-facing nature of him, you do wonder, will he kind of show a bit more of his story? Will he engage more with the media on a daily basis? And even from a standpoint of what Dave Roberts has said, he said today that perhaps Ipe himself was a bit of a barrier for even the Dodgers coaching staff getting information from Ohtani in terms of having a dialogue, and that perhaps with a new interpreter, Will Ireton, who's been around the organization for a long time, that might become easier. It's so fascinating because there's so little that we know for sure here, other than if we're going to take Ohtani at his word about maybe being a bit more transparent, him saying that yesterday he really wanted to be able to tell the media what he's thinking. Okay, so let's see more of that candor. Let's see more of that personality and interrelatability, perhaps to the media, to the public, whatever you want to say. Let's see. And I think collectively we will see if the baseball industry, media, organization, if maybe they hold Ohtani to that same level of account going forward.
All right, JP, last time we get to talk to you before the baseballs fly for real. Your World Series pick for this year are the Mets and who?
Okay, here we go. I've got the Baltimore Orioles.
No, because I'm going to pick the Orioles. Ah, okay. JP!
So
how are you not picking the Mariners? Wait a minute. You pick the Mariners every year, JP.
Here's the issue, Jason. So first of all, let's take a step back. For all of America listening right now, the reaction that Jason Smith had upon realizing that his World Series pick was my World Series pick is that of a friend who knows that his friend is always wrong. So that is what you just heard. Jason Smith and I have been friends for a long time. We've been friends for a long time. I've been terrible at predictions for a long time, plus one. So this is all known to my dear friends, Jason and Mike, on the radio right now. So that's number one. I have the Baltimore Orioles defeating the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series this year. Because, listen, as much as I'd love to pick the Dodgers, they're probably still the favorites. That's way too much, you know, choosing the chalk to win it. So I've got Baltimore over Philly. I also like the Braves a lot. And so I'm sorry, Jason, I've now mentioned two teams I like in your division that aren't the Mets. But the Mets have had a good spring. Remember, they've had a good spring. Didn't I just tell you that they had, like, the lowest walk total in the Grapefruit League? So put that on a banner and put that right in the Tyrac.com studios. How about that?
Wow. And he got the sponsor. We're gonna raise a banner for that at Citi Field. Lowest Grapefruit League ERA. Right there, we're raising that banner.
Raise that man. And by the way, how about that? I listen to your show so often that I know the sponsor of the studio that you're in right now.
Nicely done.
That's how much I love you guys.
That's my guy.
He's on Twitter at John Morosi. That is at John Morosi. MLB Network insider John Paul Morosi. JP, as always, buddy. Appreciate it, my friend. Best of luck. And if something happens, we'll call you back later on tonight.
Sounds great. I tell you what, I've got the Jason Smith Show on speed dial all season long. Because a lot of the Dodger games are going to be interesting this year, no matter what the result. You call me anytime you want to talk, all right? And you guys call me Thursday night if you want to.
That's
all right?
Perfect.
All
I'm right. going to send you my 15 questions when you do stalk Artie Moreno.
All right. Oh, there's some good ones right there. I'm looking forward to it.
See you, JP. We'll talk to you in a couple
of
days.
All the best, guys. Happy opening day. Thank you.
There he goes. Yeah, we should call him Thursday night.
Yeah,
have JP
just
on.
Saying. Come on in.
After the Mets beat the Brewers 1-0 on the way to the World Series.
But they won the offseason. They've got the $3 happy hour beer corner.
Yeah, that is $3 beer corner.
That's kind of a big
Mets
deal.
Mets,
anything
yo.
Else Stearns, he did. He did that right.
I can tell if Sean Manet is actually throwing the ball or not.
It doesn't matter.
I thought he had long hair and he cut it. Ah, that guy.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.